Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, as Anthony said, this question of Massachusetts' energy future is an important one. So let's turn now to Matthew Beaton. He's the State Secretary for Energy and the Environment. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. Also with us today is Peter Shattuck. He's Director of the Clean Energy Initiative and Director of the Massachusetts Office of the Acadia Center. Peter Shattuck, welcome to you.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So, Secretary Beaton, let me first start with something that Bruce Moll recently wrote in Commonwealth Magazine. He wrote that the Pilgrim shutdown is a big headache for the Baker administration because the governor wants to both reduce carbon emissions and lower electricity rates, but the Pilgrim shutdown makes that harder because it's going to remove, what, 680 megawatts of clean energy from the state's mix? So do you agree? Is this a big headache for you guys?
Headache is an interesting way to phrase it. Haven't looked at it necessarily that way, but, you know, in recognition of the valued resource that Pilgrim did provide, it does present a number of challenges. It changes the reliability conversation, but also how we are going to go about meeting our environmental goals under the Global Warming Solutions Act.
So let's dig in a little bit more about what to do about that. I mean, Governor Baker has said clearly that we in Massachusetts are at an energy crossroads. And we have a little bit of tape from the governor when he was testifying about this issue on Beacon Hill late last month. Here he is.
We are in danger of being out of compliance with our own legislative mandates. The bottom line is the current energy market rules and forces alone are not addressing the need for reasonable costs and new supplies of energy to meet our Commonwealth's goals and commitments. It's our collective responsibility to address cost, carbon, and climate change.
Peter Shattuck, I want to ask you, I mean, what can we do about this? Because we were looking at the fuel breakdown from ISO New England, the grid operator, for today. And it shows that we're getting 70% of our energy from natural gas, 16% from nuclear, 8% from renewables, and 5% from hydropower, and 1% from other. And again, that's just for today. But a lot of people say that, you know, it's the rock-bottom prices of natural gas that in effect led to the closing of Pilgrim, and that, ironically, Pilgrim being gone may only increase our reliance on natural gas.
Yeah, that is a real challenge. And when you take a step back, we've had a real change in the resource mix over the last 10 or 15 years. If you look back to the early 2000s, it was about a third gas, a third nuclear, a third oil and coal, and a bit of renewables. And over time, that has shifted to the numbers you cited, where we're now over-reliant on natural gas. So we're encouraged by the Baker administration's commitment to achieving the greenhouse gas goals and some of the steps they've proposed to take. We have clean resources to the north. That includes hydro, but also wind. And if we're building big, expensive transmission lines, we should probably be getting both out of that bargain. We've also got a booming solar industry in Massachusetts that we should continue to support. And as we look forward, the offshore wind resource that we have would feed power into the grid into southeast Massachusetts where it's needed the most. So that's another significant area for growth going forward.
Okay, so Secretary Beaton, I mean, Peter Shattuck here is painting what seems to be a pretty positive picture on how we can go about diversifying where we get our power from. But a lot of people are wondering, you know, can we get there if, for example, the Baker administration, you know, wants to spend a lot of public money on another natural gas pipeline? I mean, why should ratepayers subsidize more natural gas pipelines and not have just the companies pay for it themselves?
The challenge with a lot of our renewable resources, such as solar and wind, they are great resources, and we need to continue to promote them and continue to develop them. But unfortunately, they're not going to help us solve this challenge of cost, certainly, but also reliability, because when we need the resources to be online the most, we can't always depend on solar and wind. And we need to start creating a framework and pace ourselves at a reasonable cost to transition into a more renewable energy future.
Well, Secretary Beaton, let me ask you about that, because I was reading something from George Bacharach of the Environmental League of Massachusetts, whom I know you know well. And he says he's kind of confused by this focus on making renewables competitive on price now, and that he wonders if the administration's focus on that is going to forever hamper renewables and not allow them to be a full part of our energy mix in the state. Because, you know, in George Bacharach's words, he believes that renewables are like any startup. The initial cost is going to be higher. And he says that if you let renewables develop as they should, they will actually in the long run, bring the price down. But if you're worried about cost today, you're never going to get to that place where they do bring the prices down.
Well, the challenge we have in Massachusetts is the national average for electricity in the entire nation is 9 cents per kilowatt hour. In Massachusetts, we're upwards at 13.5 cents per kilowatt hour. So in recognition of available resources, that we have to step back and take a look at what we are trying to accomplish. We're trying to lower the amount of greenhouse gases that we emit into the atmosphere. How do we do that in the most cost-competitive way to not put Massachusetts at an economic disadvantage?
Peter Shattuck, jump in here. I mean, what's your thought on what the Secretary is saying?
Well, I think he's identified one of the key factors, which is the need to meet peak demand. And that's important because right now we build the entire energy system to meet peak demands a handful of days or a handful of hours of the year. Historically, that has been in the summer months. That means that all the power plants, transmission lines, distribution lines, and pipelines that we built are oversized just for the occurrence of that peak. It's kind of like stocking your refrigerator for Thanksgiving all year round just in case it happens. Now, with all these technologies that are coming forward, particularly on the smart energy management side, we can make better use of the grid that we have. And we can also take the new resources that we want to put online to effectively decarbonize the entire energy system and pair them in a smart way. So wind is not blowing all the time. That's right. But hydro can be there to back it up. And that's where, as we go forward and thinking about what new resources we have, we're encouraged by the initial steps that the Baker administration and others have taken, but think it's important that we make sure we get that blended mix so that the resources are always there when we need them.
Secretary Beaton, let me just return to a question I asked a little earlier, because I'm not entirely sure I heard a clear answer from you. And that's about subsidizing, ratepayers subsidizing a new natural gas pipeline in Massachusetts. Why are we asking ratepayers to subsidize it? Why aren't we just asking the companies themselves to pay for their own pipeline?
Because the companies need assuredness that demand is there. They need a mechanism in place to have those guarantees that the gas is getting where we need it to be when we need it to be there. And the mechanism that has just gone forward through the Department of Public Utilities, there will be a final review that looks at the cost effectiveness and the public interest standard will be applied at the Department of Public Utilities to verify that it is in the public interest and that there will be a net savings to the ratepayer. So while the ratepayers are actually paying for it, the net savings that will occur, there will be ultimately a net savings to the ratepayer.
Mm. Go ahead, Peter Shattuck.
Some of our concern about the pipeline is that it fits into some of this historical overbuilding approach. But when you look at this unique challenge, which is really in the electric sector, it is electric power plants historically having been unwilling to pay for gas pipelines. There are probably cheaper and less risky solutions. Some of these have already been implemented and are showing results. The regional grid operator essentially looked at what happened 2 years ago when electricity prices spiked and realized that a lot of the gas generators who are now supplying more and more of our power were essentially unprepared. So they put in place rules that said if you want to supply in this market, if you want to sell your product, electricity, to consumers here, you need to make sure that you have the backup when you need it. And also at the same time, if we're bringing in new resources like a mix of wind and hydro, that's another way of addressing our peak demand.
Secretary Beaton, last question for you, and this has to do with Massachusetts overall in terms of where we find ourselves as an energy consumer rather than a producer. We're sort of at the end of the line here for natural gas, for electricity, et cetera. And for as long as we don't generate enough of our power right here in the state and we remain those end users, aren't we always going to be at that energy crossroads that the governor has been talking about?
Yes, I would agree with that. And then the question ultimately boils down to how much, at what impact to the ratepayer today to not put Massachusetts at an economic disadvantage, and over what time frame? It is this true combo platter that looks to the future for grid modernization, for energy storage opportunities, and then the policies that we are putting forward allows for the continuation of a robust domestic production of these, and looking at it on the regional context that we must, because we don't operate in an electricity market that is singular to Massachusetts. We need to engage in a regional conversation conversation with our neighboring partners in New England and come up collectively with the solutions that is going to transition to us into a future where we have that domestic source of electricity. But again, it just goes back to that conversation of not too much, not too soon, to not have that negative economic effect on the overall ratepayer in Massachusetts.
Well, Matthew Beaton is the Massachusetts Secretary of Energy and the Environment. Secretary Beaton, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And Peter Shattuck is Director of the Clean Energy Initiative and Director of the Massachusetts Office of the Acadia Center. Peter Shattuck, a pleasure to have you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, Natick's Combat Kitchen and how the U.S. military has helped shape the American diet. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.